Good morning. Welcome to our worship service today. We begin with a prayer to our God and Savior. O Lord God, our merciful Father, we come before you in awe and wonder as we consider the amazing love that you have shown to us rebellious sinners in the suffering that your Son so patiently endured for us. Fill us with an even greater appreciation for the sacrifice that he made for us on the cross. All the worship and praise that we can give cannot thank you enough for what you've done for us, dear Jesus. Accept our praise today and increase our faith and love for you. Hear us, dear Jesus, for your name's sake. Amen. You may be seated. Our first hymn for today is Glory Be to Jesus. Please rise. I invite you to follow along with our order of service as it's printed for you in our service bulletin. We begin in the middle of page 2. We begin our worship service in the name of the Triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto thee all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended thee, and justly deserve thy temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them. And I pray thee of thy boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being. Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called servant of the word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And by the authority and command of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord be with you. We pray. Lord God, through your Son, you made the heavens and the earth. Through him you continue to rule over all things. Make us, your chosen people, witnesses of your power and heralds of your glory to the praise of your unfailing love. We pray this in Jesus' name, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated. We continue with our next set of Passion History readings. We continue with part 3, beginning on page 4 in your bulletin.
Chief priests and scribes came together. They took counsel against Jesus to put him to death. They held a consultation with the elders and the scribes and the whole council. They led Jesus into their council, saying, "If you are the Christ, tell us." But he said to them, "If I tell you, you will by no means believe. And if I also ask you, you will by no means answer me or let me go. Hereafter, the Son of Man will sit on the right hand of the power of God." Then they all said, "Are you then the Son of God?" And he said to them, "You rightly say that I am." And they said, "What further testimony do we need? For we have heard it ourselves from his own mouth." Then the whole multitude of them arose, bound Jesus, and led him away from Caiaphas to the Praetorium, and delivered him to Pontius Pilate, the governor, and it was early morning. Then Judas, his betrayer, seeing that Jesus had been condemned, was remorseful, and brought back the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, "I have sinned by betraying innocent blood." And they said, "What is that to us? You see to it." Then he threw down the pieces of silver in the temple, and departed, and went and hanged himself. After falling headlong, he burst open in the middle, and all his bowels gushed out. But the chief priests took the silver pieces and said, "It is not lawful to put them into the treasury, because they are the price of blood." And they took counsel, and bought with them the potter's field to bury strangers in. Therefore, that field has been called the field of blood to this day. Then was fulfilled what was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet, saying, "And they took the 30 pieces of silver, the value of him who was priced, whom they of the children of Israel priced, and gave them for the potter's field, as the Lord directed me." And the Jews themselves did not enter into the Praetorium, lest they should be defiled, but that they might eat the Passover. Pilate then went out to them and said, "What accusation do you bring against this man?" They answered and said to him, "If he were not an evildoer, we would not have delivered him up to you." Then Pilate said to them, "You take him and judge him according to your law." Therefore the Jews said to him, "It is not lawful for us to put anyone to death, that the saying of Jesus might be fulfilled, which he spoke, signifying by what death he would die." And they began to accuse him, saying, "We found this fellow perverting the nation and forbidding to pay taxes to Caesar, saying that he himself is Christ, a king." Then Pilate entered the praetorium again and called Jesus. Now Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, saying, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus answered him, "Are you speaking for yourself on this, or did others tell you this about me?" Pilate answered, "Am I a Jew? Your own nation and the chief priests have delivered you to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight so that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now my kingdom is not from here." Pilate therefore said to him, "Are you a king then?" Jesus answered and said to him, "It is as you say. You say rightly that I am a king. For this cause I was born, and for this cause I have come into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." Pilate said to him, "What is truth?" And when he had said this, he went out again to the Jews and said to the chief priests and the crowd, "I find no fault in this man. I find no fault in him at all." And the chief priests accused him of many things. And while he was being accused by the chief priests and elders, he answered nothing. Then Pilate asked him again, saying, "Do you answer nothing? Do you not hear how many things they testify against you? See how many things they testify against you?" But Jesus still answered nothing. He answered him not one word, so that Pilate, the governor, marveled greatly. Here ends our Passion History reading.
All we like sheep have gone astray, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. By his wounds we are healed.
I invite you to please rise. We join now in confessing our faith in the one true triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, with the words of the Nicene Creed on page 6 in your bulletin. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of the Father. And he shall come again with glory to judge both the quick and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life, who proceedeth from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spake by the prophets. And I believe one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. You may be seated. We'll continue with our next hymn, "O Dearest Jesus, What Law Hast Thou Broken?" And we'll sing the verses you see printed in your bulletin.
Thank you.
Please rise. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who is the way, the truth, and the life, dear fellow redeemed. The text for our meditation and application to our daily walk of faith is taken from the Gospel of John. We'll read just two verses from John chapter 18, verses that coincidentally were read in our Gospel reading from the Passion History of Christ from earlier today. "You are a king then?" Pilate asked. Jesus answered, "I am, as you say, a king. For this reason I was born, and for this reason I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice." "What is truth?" Pilate said to him. After he said this, he went out again to the Jews and told them, "I find no basis for a charge against him." These are the words of our Lord. Let us pray. Let the words of our mouths and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. What is truth? It's not actually a bad question that Pilate asked Jesus. After all, if the world in Pilate's day is anything like the world in our day is, asking what is truth seems like a pretty reasonable and actually good question to ask. It's hard to know what is true anymore, isn't it? Whether you are watching something on TV or consuming it on the internet, reading the newspaper or hearing things on the radio, even if it is the quote-unquote news, it's hard to know, is what I'm hearing, seeing, or reading actually true? The result is we become essentially a society full of people who, like Pilate, are asking, what is truth? And doubting whether there actually is such a thing as truth. Earlier on Monday, Thursday evening, before Jesus stood before Pilate, he told his disciples, "I am the truth." Notice Jesus doesn't just say, "I am truthful." He doesn't just say, "I tell you the truth." No, Jesus is even more than that. He is truth itself. What did he mean by this? Well, as we examine this conversation with Pilate on that first Good Friday, we'll find the answer. That answer points us to one of Jesus' names of wondrous love, the one we'll consider today, and that is that he is the truth. Let's recall why Jesus was standing before this Roman governor Pilate in the first place. The Jewish high court, the Sanhedrin, had already passed the death sentence on Jesus late Thursday night, but they were subject to the Roman government. They were not allowed to carry out the death sentence themselves. If they had been, they would have stoned Jesus. That was the Jewish method of execution. So they had to try and convince the Roman governor Pilate, who did have authority to condemn Jesus, they had to convince him that Jesus was in fact worthy of this death sentence. Their charge of blasphemy that they had found Jesus guilty of, claiming to be God, that would mean nothing to Pilate. What does he care if Jesus, this Jewish rabbi, claims to be God or not? Let them deal with those religious squabbles. But they come up with a charge that would force Pilate to investigate further and at least ask Jesus some questions. We read in the Gospel of Luke that they began to accuse Jesus, saying, "We found this fellow misleading our nation, forbidding the payment of taxes to Caesar, and saying that he himself is Christ, a king." Now, no Roman representative could ignore such a threat to the emperor of Rome. This man claims to be a king. That has to be investigated. So Jesus is hauled before Pilate, and he asks Jesus straight up, "Are you a king then?" Jesus answers him, "I am, as you say, a king. For this reason I was born, and for this reason I came into the world to testify to the truth." In response, all Pilate can muster was this jaded question, what is truth? With that question, Pilate seemed to imply that there was no absolute truth, especially in the areas of religious matters. If anything, Pilate was likely a pagan skeptic, a practical agnostic. For him, the answer was simple. There is no such thing as truth. Sound familiar? The unbelieving world today still asks that same question Pilate asked. What is truth? Absolute truth in matters of morality and religion simply does not exist, people insist. What seems true for one generation may change for the next. What's true for one person may not be true for the next person. It's the reason why expressions such as my truth have become so prevalent. You rarely hear people talk about the truth because people don't believe it exists anymore. Many people don't, at least. Truth is relative in the minds of many, and therefore so is matters of right and wrong. And sadly for many, the conclusion they come to is that there is no truth, which in itself is self-contradictory, of course. If you are absolutely sure there's no absolute truth, how can you be absolutely sure there is no absolute truth? Regardless, this is the mindset and the belief of many people. As I mentioned earlier, the problem for Pilate and for anyone who asks the question, what is truth, actually doesn't lie in the question itself. The problem is not listening to or believing the answer Jesus gives when he says, I am the truth. Listen again to Jesus' words to Pilate from our text, from verse 37. For this reason I was born, and for this reason I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice. Notice I read verse 37. That verse comes before Pilate's question. Jesus answers Pilate's question even before it's asked. Truth itself was standing there before Pilate that day in the person of the Son of God. And sadly, Pilate did not listen. Jesus stands before us today. Jesus, the truth, stands before us today in his word. In him and in his word, we find the answers and we find the truth to so many of the questions, the doubts, and the skepticism that comes from either within us or outside in the world around us. In his word, Jesus tells us the truth about the beginning of all things, as well as the end. In his word, Jesus tells us the truth about who we are and what we've been made through faith in him. He tells us the truth about human sexuality and marriage, about sin and forgiveness, about life and death, about heaven and hell. The question is, will we listen to him? Do we treasure Jesus, the truth? Do we believe what he says? Do we apply it to our lives? Do we share the truth with others? This Lenten season, let's listen again with our ears and our hearts open by God's grace to the words of the one who is the truth. Hear again what Jesus has to say to us in the truth of his word. 2 Timothy 3:15. From infancy you have known the holy scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. Romans 10:17. So then faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. John 8:31-32. If you remain in my word, you are really my disciples. You will also know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Jesus is truth in person. He is God's living word of salvation. He is truth in action. He didn't just stay the truth that's way off somewhere in heaven. He actually stepped down into history, from eternity into time, clothed himself in humanity, slept in a cradle, suffered on a cross, shed his blood as the God-man to make himself the truth of our salvation. If we want to know the truth about how we are saved, there is only one answer: Jesus. If we want to tell others about how they are saved, there is only one truth to speak: Jesus. We can live without many of the other truths that are put forward by the world, but we cannot be saved without the truth, Jesus. As Jesus himself said to his disciples and to us, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." God help us to listen with believing hearts to Jesus' answer to that all-important question: what is truth? God help us to treasure Jesus' answer: "I am the truth," because it shows his wondrous love for you and me. Amen. Please rise. And that peace of God which passes all understanding will keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus.
Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit.
Our service continues with our prayers for today. We have a few prayer requests. First of all, prayers for those who've been suffering under the severe winter weather, both in some of the mountainous areas of California and across our country. Pray for the Lord's protection and for better weather to come upon our country soon. We also give prayers of thanksgiving and dedication for the new fellowship hall, entryway, and offices that was recently completed. We thank the Lord for the blessing that it's already brought us and ask for that to be done to his glory, that we enjoy this new facility to his honor and glory. Any other prayer requests for today? Yes, Grace.
Prayers of thanksgiving for 103 years of grace for our mother's sister, Gertrude, a lifetime servant in the kingdom down in Southern California, and prayers of encouragement for her children who are her caregivers and struggling with serious challenges at this stage.
Who are caring for her? It's your mother's sister, you said?
Yes, her one remaining sister.
Thank you. Any other prayer requests for today? Let's join our hearts together in prayer. O God, our Heavenly Father, you have forever demonstrated your love for us sinners, because when we were powerless to save ourselves, you had your Son Jesus die in our place. Forgive our sins for the sake of his shed blood, and spare us. With confident joy, we praise you, the rock of our salvation. We come before your presence with thanksgiving. We come to your throne of grace, Lord, invited to bring our prayers and our requests to you, knowing that you will hear and answer them in the way that you know is good and best. We pray for those who are suffering under the severe winter weather that's afflicted not only regions of our state, but also across our country. Lord, be with them, protect them, and if it's your will, Lord, bring better weather and safety and protection to all those who are under the burden of this oppressive winter. We pray, Lord, that you'd keep us all safe in our travels and bless our loved ones and those who are having a difficult time in this winter season. We give you prayers of thanks and praise, dear Lord, for the work that's been done in our fellowship hall, our narthex, and the two offices. We thank you for the fellowship and the harmony that we were able to work with, for providing for us the means to be able to do this work, and for the beautiful new facility that you've blessed us with. Dear Lord, we dedicate it to you and to your glory. May all that is done and said in this facility be done to the praise and glory of your name. We ask your blessings, dear Lord, and give you thanks for 103 years of Gertrude's life. We pray that you would give her the health and strength she needs in the time that she has left here on this earth. And when you are ready, Lord, take her to be with you in the blessed peace and paradise of heaven. Please be with her children who are caring for her. Give them the strength and the wisdom they need to care properly for her and to be a blessing to her during this late time in her life. Please be their comfort and their guide and their strength in all things. Dear Savior, you have come to us and become the truth of God to us through your word. Help us to listen to you. Help us to apply that word of truth to our lives and help us to share that message with others. Spirit of God, apply to all of our sins the precious shed blood of Jesus that we may have perfect cleansing and be found acceptable to our Father in heaven. Keep our faith from growing cold. Redirect the lives of those who have strayed and erred down the path of sin to awaken and to be restored in you, and restore those blessed truths of Holy Scriptures to those who have fallen into error. Keep our faith from failing, dear Lord, and we ask that you would answer all of our prayers in the way that you know is right and best. We pray them in your saving name. Amen. You may be seated. Continue our service today with our next hymn, a pre-communion hymn, Thy Body Given for Me, O Savior. Please rise. We continue on the bottom of page 10. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up unto the Lord.
Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God. It is truly good, right, and spiritually beneficial that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who brought the gift of salvation to all people by his death on the tree of the cross, so that the devil who overcame us by a tree would in turn by a tree be overcome. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and singing. We join now in praying together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. We continue with the words of institution. Our Lord Jesus Christ, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same manner also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of our Lord be with you always. You may be seated. At this time, we ask those who are communicant members of St. Stephen Congregation or of a sister congregation in the Church of the Lutheran Confession to participate in the Lord's Supper with us today. We begin with those who prefer to take the Lord's Supper in the pews, and then we continue with those who'd like to take the Lord's Supper here at the altar. I invite you in the pews to take your packets out, beginning first with the bread. Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given into death for your sins. And now the wine. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for you for the forgiveness of all your sins. Now may this, the true body and true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, strengthen you and preserve you in the one true faith until life everlasting. Depart in peace. Amen. I invite those who are coming forward to the altar to receive the Lord's Supper at this time. Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given into death for your sins. Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given into death for your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for you for the forgiveness of all your sins. Now may this, the true body and true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, strengthen you and preserve you in the one true faith until life everlasting. Depart in peace. Amen.
Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given into death for your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for the remission of all your sins. May this true body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve you in the true faith until life everlasting. Amen. Go in peace. Amen.
According to thy word, for mine eyes.
receive now with believing hearts the blessing from our Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. You may be seated. Our closing hymn for today is Thine Forever, God of Love. I invite you to stand for the last verse. You may be seated. Good morning.
Good morning.
A warm welcome to all of you in the name of our Savior Jesus, and we welcome our guests and visitors who are with us today. I invite you to sign our guest book and welcome you to come and worship our Savior with us again in the near future. A few announcements from the bulletin. We have our service in Hayward, East Bay this afternoon at 1 o'clock. It should say Bible class, not church council meeting today. That was last Sunday. Wednesday, our Board of Education is set to meet here in Mountain View via Zoom. I think there's a little bit of discussion as to what day that's actually going to be. So those of you who are Board of Education or Board of Education adjacent, please meet in the back with me really quickly after church, and let's see if we can get our date and time settled for the meeting this week. A reminder, this Saturday night, turn your clocks ahead. Spring forward 1 hour. It's already time for the time change. We get to have that glorious day next Sunday where it's sunny until, well, at least daylight. I don't know if it's going to be sunny or not. Daylight until, what, 7:15? That's always a wonderful thing. A reward for losing that hour of sleep. Next Sunday, Bible class at 9 a.m., worship service at 10 a.m., the usual times. There are church calendars for the month of March. They are on the entryway table. I forgot to put them in your mailboxes, so please grab a calendar on your way out of church today if you have not gotten the one in the hard copy yet. I sent it via email this past week, so you have that in your inbox as well. The 2023 church directories are going to be, Lord willing, put out by the middle of this month, so please, if you would, check the directories, the printed directory on the table. If you have any corrections to be made for your contact information, please do so. And if you are all correct, put a check mark by it so I know that you've checked your name and your contact information. I hope to get the directories out by the middle of the month for both our congregation here and East Bay's congregation. I've been a bit under the weather this weekend. I don't have COVID, I don't have a fever, but I'm gonna wear a mask and I will greet you with what I'm calling the holy hand wave of love as you leave church today, and try not to pass on this head cold that I'm getting over. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all.